Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 178 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltacka. Thanks for joining me again today on the show. We've got a lot of stuff to go through. Chief among them, we will be drawing for the winner of the Willie the Kid contest. So some people are probably waiting for that. The CCFR's hearing at the Federal Court of Appeal is coming up in about a week and a half. And we're going to chat about that a little bit. The mayor of Montreal joins forces with Police Saint-Sauveur to attack lawful legal gun owners and try to end legal firearm ownership in Canada. We'll talk about all of the intricacies there. And of course, the story of my very first duck hunt, including some video and a couple of guests to tell the story with me. That's coming up as well. Anyway, all that and more, CCFR Radio starts right now. Want to save hundreds on hunting and shooting merchandise? Want to support Canada's gun lobby in beating back the gun grabs? Download the free CCFR mobile app right now. Keep up with what's going on in the community, watch the CCFR podcast, and get exclusive discounts from dozens of gun stores and other CCFR business members. Available for Apple and Android users. The CCFR mobile app. Download it for free through your app store right now. All right, we are back. So let me tell you how we're laying this episode out. So I've got a couple of things to go over with you as quickly as I possibly can. Then we're going to bring Tracy Wilson on, and Tracy and I have some things to discuss with you, as well as we're going to do the draw for the Willie the Kid contest. And then when that's done, I'm going to be showing the video for my very first duck hunt ever. So big thank you to Chris and Dan over at Pitt Waterfowlers in Pitt Meadows, British Columbia. And also Browning Canada provided a shotgun. So thank you everyone over at Browning. And also everyone over at Kent Cartridge Canada for providing like premium quality waterfowl hunting ammunition. So Kent Cartridge Canada provided the ammunition for me because it's very expensive, that kind of stuff. So all that whole group of people, thanks so much for taking me on my very first duck hunt. It was a pile of fun. I've got the whole video on the show, and Chris and Dan will be on as well to tell the story. And so anyway, when that's done, we'll go into the outro. Now you're going to want to stick around for that because the next episode is our Christmas special. It's going to be the last one of 2024. And we have a special guest that's going to be on with us for the entire episode. And it's going to be a lot of fun and there's going to be some laughs. So anyway, you're going to find out who that is at the end of the episode. So make sure you stick around for that. All right. Now, in the last episode, these are a couple of things I want to cover with you before I bring Tracy on. In the last episode, I talked a little bit about self-defense with firearms. And some people were quite surprised. They're like, oh, we're so glad that you're talking about this. And I'm like, okay, I'm glad that you're glad, but you shouldn't be surprised. 9 years ago when we started the CCFR, if you go to firearmrights.ca or ccfr.ca, you'll find our policies there. So these are a group of documents that are basically there to communicate what the CCFR stance is on any of these firearm regulation related issues, okay? Magazine size restrictions, self-defense with firearms, ATTs, whatever, right? All of these things, licensing, everything that we had agreed way back when when the CCFR started, those policy positions are there, okay? Now, we thought that was important to be transparent. You can find with some groups, whether gun groups or not, you're like, well, how do you guys feel about this? I never see anything on your website. And you got to like corner one of the board members, like, well, you know, what's your stance on this? And they might give you a good answer or not, or, you know, an honest answer or not. It's like, you don't have to do that with us. Here's our position on all these things. You may agree with most of them or all of them, or maybe agree with none of them. You don't want to support the CCFR. Or you say, you know what? These are all reasonable. I support them, you know? So that's what we try to do. We're showing you what you're buying ahead of time. You know, when you support the CCFR, same thing with why join when you go there, right? It's, you can see what we do before you support the CCFR, or if you're considering continuing to support the CCFR, you can see all that stuff there. So anyway, we have a we have a policy on self-defense. It's been there since day one. So the reason why I brought it up recently is because I think, and I sort of got this feeling about a year and a half ago, like self-defense with a firearm, like concealed carry too, like these are very controversial topics, especially in Canada. You have a very sensitive population that's not used to that kind of conversation. Can you use a firearm to defend yourself in Canada? You absolutely can, but it's complicated. And it's a real minefield legally. But yes, you can, and people have, and they haven't run afoul of the law, for sure, right? But the reason why I felt like, I don't know, about a year and a half, it was a little ago, I think the country's a lot more ready for that conversation. The conversation about firearms being reasonably used for self-defense is absolutely reasonable. I don't find it controversial at all, right? So I'm not going to rehash everything I said about it last time, but you shouldn't be surprised that we're talking about it. We've had a policy on our website, right, that I've taken heat for it, especially the concealed carry one. But, you know, if you read the policy itself, you'll find that it's reasonable. It's not like no rules, everybody gets guns. It's like, hey, you know, meet the standard and whatever. And, you know, you're still liable for your actions. You know, you can't just run around and say, you know, somebody looked at me wrong or whatever. You read those policies and you see that they're reasonable and they would increase public safety. And they would also increase the trust that you have between the, you know, in this relationship between the government and citizens. Like that's an important relationship to me. That's why it's always appalling for me to see the government squandering that relationship, poisoning that relationship. That's the relationship actually that holds the country together. So anyway, we believe strongly that you should be able to use a firearm for purposes of self-defense when it's appropriate. And I think the country is ready for that conversation. So that's why I brought it up in the first place. And I'm glad that people feel about it the way they are. And even people that aren't gun owners are feeling about it the way that they are these days. That's a good sign. So, because Canada hasn't ever been as dangerous as it is right now. After 7 years, right? 9 years under Liberal government, 7 years of successive, massive gun control and bans and all this kind of stuff, new regulations and reclassifications and all this stuff. Never been more dangerous. This is not rocket science, folks. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that. I also want to mention that I've been, over the last few weeks, sending out emails to all our business members, just trying to squeeze in just a simple thank you. Because, you know, we've come so far over this last 9 years, and people used to talk about, oh, we need one big org, one powerful organization that can, like, throw down millions of dollars to sue the government, or they can, you know, invest this into an election, or they can show up here, or they can do that. Like, we always wanted an organization big enough and strong enough for that. And we have it, right? It's the CCFR, which is fantastic. And, you know, I'm under no illusions that it's not us that did it, right? It's everyone coming together and supporting this effort and us following through. Okay. To be fair, us following through in our promises, we will do this, this, and this if you support us. And we do. And then so we have this bond of trust going, and that's allowed us to do it. But it never would have happened. None of the CCFR stuff would have ever happened if we didn't have people supporting us. So I've been sending emails to our business members, to people that have donated large sums of money to the CCFR, to gun clubs that are getting their insurance through us, which really helps us. So don't forget, you know, if you want to have your gun club change their insurance over to the CCFR, that really helps us keep going, right? Keep things going. I'm going to get through that list eventually, but I've gotten a lot of really great feedback, and that's been a really great experience for me. So anyway, if you're one of those people that I mentioned, you haven't gotten an email from me, you'll probably get it in the next few weeks. So, but yeah, I just wanted to mention that. Next thing, the CCFR mobile app. So if you haven't downloaded the app, really consider doing that, because the app obviously is your membership card. We're not sending out physical membership cards. If you want them, we'll print one for you, but you're gonna have to pay for that separately from the membership. We're using membership dollars to engage in election advertising, to sue the government, to do programs like the Scrap C21 program, to send posters to gun ranges and gun stores. We that's what we use that money for, right? So we felt that it was not a great use of funds sending out all these plastic cards. And then if you have to send them every year, like each one of these things, it's like $8 worth of, $8 to $10 it costs to send somebody a card. So it's like, you know what, if you want a card, pay a little extra. You'll get a physical card. Most people don't want them. They'd rather that money go into programs, into projects. So now you've got the app, which is a current card. And of course, that current card gets you discounts at different vendors across the country, CCFR business members. It also allows you to be tapped into the CCFR's news feed without having to go onto social media or have a social media account. That's important too. It also allows us to send you an emergency message onto your phone if we really need to do that. We don't abuse that, just like we don't abuse our email list. We don't spam anybody. Get one email a week, right? And if there's a big emergency, you might get an extra email. That's it. And this app, based on my wishes, does not steal your contacts, right? We don't have access to your contacts, your microphone, your camera. It doesn't track you, doesn't do any of those things, because I wouldn't download an app that does that on my phone either. So I wouldn't expect you to do it. So you can be sure that none of that stuff's going to be happening in the app if you download it. Anyway, definitely worth doing it. And then of course, you've got all of these extra deals there. And the other thing, if you're a business member and you're listening right now, not this year, so because we only have one more episode before the end of the year, but probably starting in January, I'm going to be featuring some business members in each episode that have provided a CCFR, a discount for CCFR members within the app. So if you are listed in the app and you have some deal for CCFR members, I'm going to mention you on the show, both on television and here in the podcast. So anyway, keep that in mind. It only takes, probably take half an hour of your time to set all that stuff up. And of course, we're here to help you if you need help. If you want to download the app, you don't know how to connect it with your membership or whatever, just go to ccfr.ca, look in the news items. There's a whole story about the app and it's got all the links and video tutorials and all this stuff in there to help you get all that set up. Anyway, that's all I got for now. Let's bring Tracy Wilson on. CTOMS has been a provider of trauma care training to military and police in Canada for nearly two decades. Now this emergency medical training is being made available to a wider audience through CTOMS online courses. Go to ctomsacademy.com and use promo code CCFR30 to get 30% off. That's ctomsacademy.com. And thank you so much to our great friends over at Vortex Canada. They continue to support the CCFR podcast and the CCFR. Can't say enough about them. Check out all their great products at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. Vortex, the force of optics. Need a new boomstick? Bullseye North is Canada's shooting superstore and a proud supporter of the CCFR. With a wide selection of guns and top trending gear for any shooter, they have what you need. Plus, free shipping over $250, which includes ammo, or flat rate shipping of $17 under $250. Some conditions apply. Subscribe to their weekly newsletter to get first access to the hottest deals. A huge thank you goes out to our great friends over at the Saskatchewan Rivers chapter of Safari Club International. They do a lot of great work over there, including supporting the CCFR and the CCFR radio podcast. Check out all their great work at saskriversSCI.com. That's saskriversSCI.com. All right, we are back, and via Skype, we have Tracy Wilson of the CCFR. Wilson!
Oh, you're in your new studio, so you've got privacy and you're very loud.
Yes, I'm very happy about the privacy now, actually.
Yeah, good stuff. I like it. Yeah. I do not have privacy. I lied in the last episode, so I'm still using my living room. There was peeling wallpaper and some really foul language, so we'll just leave that topic for another day.
We're going to get there, man. Don't worry.
I know. We will. We will. We'll get there.
All right, well, let's get at it. The first thing that we want to do is award the Willie the Kid contest. So that's going to be very exciting. And so what we did was we did the draw as a video, and then I just edited it down for time. So anyway, check it out. All right, now on to the draw for the Willie the Kid contest. This is not going to be seamless, but what I will tell you guys right now is that if you want to see an uninterrupted one, you know, complete video of the draw itself, then you'll find that on our YouTube channel. I'll post it just so people know that it's there in case you're not sure, because I am going to edit this for time. First thing we're going to do is we're going to go to our spreadsheet. So here's the spreadsheet of everyone who has entered the contest. So we're going to find a number range. Entry here is from Thomas from Nepean. And then at the very bottom of the sheet, we have Dawn from Rocky Mountain House, Alberta. Dawn entered a bunch of times. So thank you for that, Dawn. Really appreciate that. So 2 to 1531, that's our number range. So our minimum value is 2. Mm-hmm. And our maximum is 1531. All right, so we're going to generate and find out who the winner is.
I need a drum roll.
It is 1397. So we are going to go back. So that's 1397 is the winner. 1397. Okay. It is Larry from Deep River, Ontario.
Congratulations, Larry Anderson from Deep River, Ontario. You are the winner in the Willie the Kid contest. I'm very jealous because I'm a little bit of a military history buff myself. But yes, I am very excited for you to win that contest. And thank you so much for supporting the CCFR.
And I will echo that as well. Thank you, Larry. And thanks to everyone who entered. Really, really appreciate the help. I know this contest, it was a bit of a niche prize. It wasn't the best day ever or whatever. But I thought it was pretty cool. And Larry, I will reach out to you at some point today when we're recording this and arrange to ship you all of your stuff. So once again, thanks so much, everyone. All right, we'll move on. The CCFR is getting their day in court, as it were, for our federal appeal in the case CCFR versus Canada. That's going to happen on December 9th and 10th. So it's right around the corner. And you, Ms. Wilson, are going to be live tweeting or live Xing, as it were, when we had our original hearing.
Yeah, that's right. So December 9th and 10th, I'll be at the Federal Court of Appeal here in Ottawa. I am resurrecting Thunder Thumbs Wilson, and I'm going to be burning up the screen on X, formerly known as Twitter. So make sure you go and follow me over there. And I'll be taking all that legalese talk that happens in a courtroom, putting it into plain English so that it's easy to follow along and keeping you up to date. And then after that, I guess it'll just be waiting on the decision and hopefully fingers crossed for a Christmas miracle.
That would be a Christmas. It would be the best Christmas ever, actually.
It would.
Wouldn't it? If we finally won that after this crazy 4-year fight.
Oh, girl can dream. I'm afraid to even think of that. But yeah, there's a pretty decent possibility. But yeah, I always want to prepare for the worst, right?
So yeah, well, that's very positive of you.
Yeah. Well, here we are, 9 years into this regime. I'm getting used to it. So
yeah. Well, yeah. As I said before, when it comes to the case, if we lose on appeal, then you have your answer. It was expensive. It took a long time, took a lot of effort, but you have your answer. You have no right to basically anything in Canada. The charter is just a piece of paper, and it's not meaningful at all. And it certainly doesn't hold up in real world circumstances, I guess, unless you're a hardcore criminal. They seem to win those appeals. But
yeah, they do.
Those charter challenges, if you're a criminal, you seem to have your rights protected quite nicely. But if you're a law-abiding citizen that goes through the trouble to get and maintain a firearms license, I guess you don't count. But or on the other side of it, we can say, yeah, justice does prevail. So either way, I think it was worth it to get an answer. And yeah. Selfishly, actually, Tracy, I want an answer from myself, right? Like, I want to know that as a human, you know, as a citizen of Canada, like, does justice actually happen in Canada, or is it, or am I justified in being as cynical as I can be?
Yeah, I'm a little jaded too. So yeah, I kind of struggle with that because I feel like the charter is just a piece of paper. I actually used to have it hanging on the wall and I took it off and recycled it, but you know, just doing my part for the environment.
Yeah, well, like I said, one way or another, we'll get an answer, and you won't ever have that answer if you don't fight. So
that's right. Well, we promised gun owners we would do everything humanly possible, and we meant it. We don't give up and we don't quit.
That's for sure. Okay, so some really cool news. Our friends over at the Sherwood Park Fish and Game Association in Alberta came up with another significant donation for the CCFR.
Correct. So this is really cool. Each year, the Sherwood Park Fish and Game Association Board of Directors compiles a list of organizations that they feel sort of align with their strategic objectives and the things that they want to work on. And thankfully, we're on that list. And the members of the club have the opportunity to direct a portion of their membership at the club into a donation for advocacy. And this year, we got a whopping donation, $22,880 from the Sherwood Park Fish and Game Association members. And that's really meaningful because they chose to give that to us. It wasn't just, you know, they had an option to donate to a number of different organizations and they chose us. So I'm really grateful for that. And I think it's just, it's crazy. It's huge.
Yeah, it's really great. And we couldn't do what we do without help from clubs and businesses. And of course, the majority of our revenue comes from individual owners, firearm owners, buying a $40 membership. I actually talked a little bit about that in the monologue, but you know, it's, we're just in such in a privileged position and we really appreciate all the help. So thank you everyone over at the SPFGA.
Yeah, great club.
All right, so now we're gonna talk about something interesting. So there's some moves. By the time this comes out, maybe there's something big that has happened. Maybe there hasn't. But former Mayor Valerie Plante, which I think is French for Valerie the Plant. I could be mistaken. I don't speak French, but some of you out there do. She's joined forces and created some kind of joint forces alliance with Police Souvien to try to do everything they possibly can using all of their resources to eliminate private firearm ownership in Canada. And and launch this big media blitz and a call for the amendments to come back, I guess that's the way I would translate it.
Yeah, that's true. So this is all sort of in the lead up to December 6th, which of course is the anniversary, the 35th anniversary this year of a horrific tragedy that happened in Montreal. So outgoing mayor, Valerie Plante, she has been mayor of Montreal since 2017. She is a progressive partisan for the Project Montreal Party. Normally in municipal politics, it's sort of a nonpartisan thing, but not in Montreal. Anyway, she's on her way out, but it looks like she's going to maybe apply for a job over at Poly. We'll see what happens. But she's calling on the feds to increase their attacks and refocus on more gun bans that attack legal owners. She wants those amendments, all the guns from the amendments brought back. And she wants to know why the confiscations haven't started happening yet. So interesting, because Montreal has a very big gang and organized crime problem. But hey, why talk about public safety when we can talk about beating up on gun owners? So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it never stops with these people.
No. In fact, the push has been going on repeatedly since the mayor came out with her. She did a press conference with them holding up a scary gun silhouette, you know, very typical Poly stuff. And then, of course, just this week, there's been people from Poly Souvien, as well as some other feminist organizations that have come to testify as expert witnesses at the Status of Women Committee on the massive rise in domestic violence in Canada. And yeah, of course, the entire focus is just focused on legal gun owners instead of all these other issues. So it's just an interesting time in politics, for sure.
Well, yeah, and then whenever that side of the political aisle wants a massive media blitz for, you know, for free, you know, the mainstream media in Canada, especially in Quebec, there's roll the red carpet out. Yeah, we'll put stories and have you on the news and you know, whatever. And they held a press conference on Parliament Hill where we have as well, just a big blitz. So I guess the reason why we're bringing this up is you wonder whether they're setting the stage for something, because the dynamics between the Liberal Party and the anti-gun groups is, you know, the anti-gun groups hold access to the December 6th proceedings that they have every year. They hold that as their last card in their hand to say, you know what, if you don't do what we want and ban guns from exclusively licensed gun owners, nobody else, but exclusively licensed gun owners, we're not going to invite you to the annual anniversary.
Yeah, the memorial. Yeah.
Yeah. So will the Liberals cave and be like, okay, well, we got to be there because, you know, we use gun control for votes. Will they cave and Dominic LeBlanc sign some order in council and ban, you know, whatever, right? 300 pages of firearms, including a pile of firearms that are used for hunting. Or will they say, you know what, we've gone as far as we can. It's not helped us. It's actually hurt us. And I'm sorry, Polly, you've gotten quite a bit. So you should be happy with what you got.
I don't know. I know that, you know, nothing changes the channel like a big splashy gun announcement, you know, gun ban announcement. So I wouldn't be overly surprised. But at the same time, you know, I'm not going to be sitting around ringing the alarm bells. They banned over 2,000 models and variants back in 2020 and yet haven't, you know, they spent $100 million trying to dream up some confiscation program that simply doesn't even exist right now. And they've extended that amnesty out past the very latest possible date for the next federal election. I'm sure that's just a coincidence. So whether they add a big list of guns to the already big list that they've banned is sort of irrelevant to me because they're not actually ever going to get any of this off the ground anyways. I wouldn't be surprised if they did something because it plays good politics for them. And I'm sure they would rather people be talking about, you know, Pierre Poilievre and Assaulty styled firearms than talking about 25% tariffs coming from Trump or political interference or the missing documents that they've been suspended in Parliament with for 2 months. Like I'm sure they'd rather talk about, you know, splashy, sexy gun announcements. So, you know, we'll see. But either way, it's purely political. And I'm not going to lose my mind over it because they're not going to get any of it done either way.
Yeah. And it would be purely political because they know they're not going to be a player at all in federal politics past next October.
Yes.
So they would never get any of these newly banned firearms, even if they did ban a whole bunch of new ones. They would never collect them anyway.
No, they would never do that. So
yeah, they wouldn't have a chance.
It's impossible to get it done. We've got an amnesty that protects us. There's nothing that can force you to do it ahead of time. So it is what it is. Let them print all the lists they want to print. It's completely irrelevant because they're never going to get it done.
Yeah. Yeah. What a mess.
Yeah. What a mess.
What a mess. Anyway, all right. I think that covers everything that we're going to talk about today. Thanks for the update, and we'll see you next time.
Okay, we'll see you then.
All right, we are back, and it's my distinct pleasure to invite my new friends, Chris Bradford and Dan Ottway from Pittwater Fowlers. How's it going, guys?
Good, man. How are you? Thanks for having us on.
I'm doing great. Thanks for coming on. All right. We don't have a lot of time because of the television format. And we have a lot of stuff to go through, so we'll get started right now. First thing I thought we'd do is give you guys a chance just to talk about your organization, Pittwater Fowlers, and kind of how you got started in this whole conservation game.
Well, Dan and I met hunting years ago, and we started hunting together exclusively. And, you know, as my son was getting older, he wanted to get into hunting, but I really wanted him to understand the conservation end of things. And we got talking one day in the blind, and Dan was telling me about some stuff that his dad was doing back in the 70s with the Wood Duck Project. And I thought, well, that sounds great. So built some boxes and put them out. And it's homage to what Dan's dad had been doing.
Yeah, back in 71 around, my dad and his good friend Richard Tithui started a nest box program and also introduced Canada geese to the lower mainland. And to pay homage to them, they ran from 72 to 96. We incorporated their name, part of their name, into our organization, and that's where we are now.
Awesome. And then now the organization itself, can you tell us about wood duck boxes? Like, what are they, and why do you put them out?
So we chose wood duck boxes to, like I said, to pay homage to the program before. There's not a lot of habitat for them in our area, so it's an easy box to do. They are cavity nesters, so we will get some other bycatches in there too with, you know, we get hooded mergansers and some flickers and some other stuff like that. But it was a way to help give a habitat for a group that's losing it and to help promote that bird in this area.
Well, the interesting thing is, of course, this was my first time ever going duck hunting because I'm a new hunter in general anyway. And as far as hunting ducks, taking them and taking them in significant numbers out, you were telling me that there are some ducks that are more destructive to farmland and wood ducks aren't. So they're worth conserving a little more than the other ducks. How does that work again?
Well, in general, the birds like widgeon are very destructive. They eat grass, they're grazers, as we say. Geese are grazers, mallards eat grass. Wood ducks don't, and the farmers are more receptive to us putting our boxes up on their property, but we also put them out in marsh areas and stuff too.
And how many boxes do you guys have going right now?
We have approximately 160, I think, and probably 80 of those are in Pitt Marsh, and then we have some on selected farms around the Lower Mainland, Pitt Meadows area. Farmers are quite receptive to having it. In fact, they enjoy being able to promote conservation on their property. So it's a good thing for all of us. So, yeah.
And have you seen a noticeable increase in the wood duck population?
Oh yeah, for sure. We can see it by the number of birds we see in the area. Now, obviously in the sloughs where we're putting them up, we see lots more, but we're also hearing about more and more hunters are noticing they're taking more, and they're more abundant in the area for sure.
Awesome. Sounds like important work. And I believe you make good use of volunteers as well.
Yeah, there is nobody in Camo that we can't recruit to become a volunteer for that. And it's been fantastic because it also allows us to get that message out about how important it is to be ethical and give back to the whole community and bring the whole community together that way.
That's awesome. Okay, well, I wanted to take this segment just to introduce you guys and what and your organization and what you're doing, because I think it's just, I think it's quite fascinating. So the your website, just before we round up this segment, what's a website where people can find out about what you guys are doing with conservation?
So you can find us at pittwaterfowlers.ca. We're also on our socials, which we have a Facebook page. We have an Instagram page and an X page. And yes, it'll all look very similar, but it trying to maximize our coverage to everybody.
That's awesome. Okay. When we come back, we're going to talk about my first experience duck hunting with you guys. So stick with us. All right. We are back with Chris and Dan from Pitt Waterfowlers. And now we're going to tell the story of my first duck hunt ever. It should be fairly interesting. Anyway, I guess as far as my involvement in all this, Chris was sort of running the show for me. And you got me up pretty early in the morning, Chris.
Yeah, well, you know, we want to be in the field at least an hour ahead of time. So 5:45 was our objective to get out there. And then you guys walked out in the field while I hauled everything out in the quad. And then, yeah, we got to put the decoys together. And I think that was a new experience for sure.
Yeah, well, that required me to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, hey?
Well, you're a little farther out in the valley than we are. It's in our backyard, which is nice.
Yeah. Well, I will say that it was worth it. It was really a cool experience. We'll get into that in a second. But one of the things I was very surprised at was the amount, you know, because I'm looking at this from the perspective of, you know, different hunting experiences that I've had, and there's a lot of gear involved in this.
Oh yeah, we spend a lot of time and money gathering gear. Some used, some new. The decoys, guns. I have a dog that, of course, always helps out, and we have calls. Everything adds up, but when you have good stuff and you put it all together, it really makes the experience much better.
Well, a quick question actually that just popped into my mind. I probably asked you guys this at the time, but the more decoys that you put out, is that usually better, or does it make not that much of a difference?
Depends a lot on the time of year and what the flocks you're seeing. Trying to match the size of your decoy spread to your flocks. Also, the pressure you're getting from other hunters. Sometimes you want to put a bigger presence than everybody else around, just so you get more notice from the birds.
Yeah, well, it was quite interesting. There's a lot of setup work. And don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining, because when I went on my bear hunt, it was 3 days of walking 10, 15 kilometers through mountains every day. And, you know, I'm surprised that I made it. This was a lot easier. You had a great little blind set up, and it was really cool in there, by the way. You had shelves and chairs, and everything's all grassed up and everything. And I was just surprised. It is action packed.
Well, we've come a long way from the days of dirt floors and some branch and hanging burlap. We spent some time, and we're lucky enough to have properties where we can build a proper structure and be somewhat comfortable and enjoy our day in a little bit more, better atmosphere.
Yeah, it was great. And, you know, I was telling my wife about it, and I'm like, you know, you sit in the blind, you don't have to really hike anywhere. I mean, obviously there's a lot of setup and packing a lot of gear and everything, but you sit in the blind, and then, you know, the birds are flying along. And then when you guys see them, you start hitting the calls and you call them in. And so, to shoot them, you don't have to go anywhere. And then you both had dogs. That I didn't have to go get the ducks. The dogs went and got them and brought them to the blind.
Yeah, dog is the number one tool in a waterfowler's arsenal. They'll find stuff, and if you get stuff into the water or the tall grass, you'll never find it, but they will. And they definitely make the experience a lot better.
Yeah, it was there's really, a lot. Go ahead.
Sorry, Rod. Yeah. No, there's a lot of days, you know, I'm thinking, am I going to go or not? The weather iffy, but, you know, I don't like to disappoint my dog. I go, I better get going. She wants to go out. I better get her out and show her, you know, give her a good time.
Well, they did a really great job, and I was very thankful. I was thankful for their service. That's for sure. You know, I went out there with, I came out there with Dustin, my friend and cameraman, and, Dustin is actually quite an experienced hunter, but he had never gone duck hunting before either. And after we'd left, we were talking, went for lunch. And, you know, I was told by someone a while back that duck hunting was fantastic. Waterfowl hunting was really great. A lot of fun, a lot of action or whatever. Of course, you don't know till you experience it. And it was, I mean, I forget what time we shot our first duck at.
Gee, I think it was probably a half hour into the hunt, which is quite late for what we usually have. But on average, Chris and I will wait at least 5 minutes or 10 minutes, depending on the sunny day or cloudy day, so we can ID birds better and give our dogs a better chance to mark them and find them. But it's been a bit of a slow year, so there weren't as many birds around. So I'm guessing it was a half hour into the morning, which longer than average.
Well, I was more than happy with the volume. I mean, I shot a duck right away, and you guys were saying, "Oh, this is slow. This is terrible." I'm like, I think I ended up shooting seven birds. I think.
Yeah, the limit's eight a day each, and I think you guys got 15 that day, if I'm not mistaken. And yeah, Chris and I are quite surprised. Nice to say, I say, take people out who can handle a gun. You guys were quick up, shoulder the guns, and the shot you made, I would have been happy with a few of them. One of them was much longer than we would normally take, and you guys were dropping them hard and not just winging them and letting the dog do some work. We were pretty impressed with you guys. Yeah.
Well, I'm thankful for that because you know, it's not difficult for me to embarrass myself. So, really quickly, what are the? I couldn't identify any of those birds myself, even though I took the core course. But the ducks, the bird parts were probably the hardest parts of the course. So what did I end up getting at the end of the day?
You guys had a good mixed bag that day. There was lots of different ducks. Of course, you got your big green head mallard drake on that great shot, and then you guys got widgeon, gadwall, and you had your mallards, and I think that was it.
Pintail.
Oh, yeah, they got a pintail too. Yeah, they got a pintail.
We were trying to call in some geese, but they weren't biting.
Yeah, this time of year, it's kind of hit and miss. They've been beat up pretty good, and they get real skittish this time of year.
Yeah. I don't want to forget, I wanted to thank you guys again. You provided the firearms because I don't have those types of guns. It's not the kind of shooting I was involved in. And I also wanted to say thank you to everyone over at Kent Cartridge Canada for providing the ammo. Really appreciate that.
Yeah, Browning Canada is they came to us last year and wanted to be part of what we're doing. Same with Reliable Gun. So the firearms are provided by Browning Canada and Kent Cartridge. They've been with us for quite a few years supporting our nesting box program and everything we're doing out there with the youth program and stuff. So they were happy to have you guys out there and using their stuff.
Well, we're going to have to wrap it up in about 30 seconds. Any final comments?
I'll just say it was a great experience having you guys with us. I appreciate everything you've done for us, Chris. Adam.
Yeah, we really wanted to say thank you to you, knowing you're getting into hunting. But on behalf of the duck hunters, you're fighting for us too. And we really wanted to reach out and say thank you for everything you're doing for the firearms community.
Well, I really appreciate that. And we will keep at it, I promise you. So, thanks so much, guys, for coming on, and thanks so much for taking me hunting. I really appreciate it. I know Dustin had a great time, and he appreciates it as well.
It was our pleasure.
Yep. Thank you.
All right, that's going to do it for episode 178 of the CCFR Radio podcast. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Really appreciate it. Make sure you share the podcast. Get other people involved. Spread the good news. Now, as I promised in the beginning, I've got a couple of things for you, and I'm going to give you the best thing right off the hop here. So the next episode is our Christmas special, and we have a special guest that will be with Tracy and I through the whole episode, and it is none other than the man himself from the great province of Saskatchewan, Canada. It is none other than Quick Dick McDick. So Quick Dick is going to be with Tracy and I. We're going to hopefully have a ton of fun. I don't know. We haven't done this before, but Quick Dick is an awesome guy. Great sense of humor, as you all know, if you've watched his stuff over the years that he's been putting out content. It's going to be a ton of fun. And I think we're going to have a lot of stuff to cover, and it's going to be lighthearted. We're going to try to keep it light, even though we both deal with some heavy issues. I think we're going to have a lot of fun. So don't miss the next episode, which is the Christmas special with our great friend, Quick Dick McDick. All right. Don't forget to download the CCFR mobile app. It's a really great tool, and it's important that we have a way to get a hold of you as well. If you're not on our mailing list, make sure you get on the mailing list too. So if you go to firearmrights.ca, scroll all the way to the bottom, you should be able to get on the CCFR emailing list. As I mentioned in the intro, we don't spam you. We're not sending you an email every day, 2 days, 3 days. It's one a week. And if there's an emergency, you might get an extra one. That's it. Okay. And you end up getting the CCFR newsletter every Friday, where our social media team, led by the fantastic Brandon, is scouring all week long, all firearm related and relevant stories for you from across the media, both the legacy media and alternative media in Canada and maybe around the world. And he puts them all into one message for you. So it's really like a little newspaper, email newsletter that should have everything that's going on that affects your ability to legally own and use firearms every Friday, just that one email. Anyway, make sure you get on our mailing list. That's it. If you want to become a member of the CCFR or possibly donate, you can do that at firearmrights.ca or ccfr.ca. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Make sure you share the podcast. Take care, and we will see you in the Christmas special.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.